You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Saturday. It's a Saturday special. It's August 28th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join all of the MLB hosts on Spotify Green Room. Get in on the action. Again, download the Spotify Green Room app. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Twins win the opener with Milwaukee last night. Really well-pitched ball game. Milwaukee without Eduardo Escobar, trying to navigate through a season in which they have been a huge, huge breakout. I mean, the pitching and the offense that's come with it has been amazing for Milwaukee. They've been fun to watch. They come to Target Field and continue a stretch, a very difficult stretch for the Twins. They go to Fenway. I thought they battled in the first two games. They won game two. You know, ended up losing game one. I thought they had a chance to come back and win game one, but didn't. Then they got blasted in the series finale. John Gant was terrible. We're going to talk about John Gant today. We're going to talk about Rob Refsnyder, Joe Ryan. We're going to talk about Frank Viola's comments about the Twins, and just looking at what he said and what I think of it, and you know, his point. Basically, I think we're going to talk about all those things today. But John Gant is a guy, and he's under arbitration. Last year of arbitration, next year before, he is a free agent. I thought it was when the Twins traded for him, they traded J-Hap for him, and J-Hap's been absolutely terrific for St. Louis, by the way. It's unbelievable. I was watching last night. I'm at Mizzou, for those who don't know, so the Cardinals are always on. I was looking over, and it was J-Hap going to work again, and it's against the Pittsburgh Pirates, but still just pitching really, really well since going there, and it's hard to believe, but also at the same time, it's not, because that's what the Twins were expecting to get. Was someone who's going to give him a chance to win every fifth day, and that's what he's done for the Cardinals. Twins get John Gant in return, and Gant's a guy who I was intrigued by because as a reliever, he has really good numbers, and as a starter, just not. I mean, as a starter this year, 72 innings, 4.38 ERA, strikeout rate 17.5%, walk rate 16%. Opponents have a 748 OPS against them. That's mostly a high on-base percentage. His stuff kind of darts. He has good movement on his pitches. He's tough to barrel up. I know Morneau was talking about that too. But as a reliever, I mean, I think it really kind of brings everything together for him. 20 and a third this year, 2.66 ERA, strikeout rate almost 22%, walk rate's down 11%, opponents hitting just 200 with a 587 OPS against them, 307 on base, just a lot better as a reliever. That's not a surprise. Like, we talk about it all the time. Stuff plays up. You know, you should be better out of the bullpen because your stuff plays up and because you can get matched up in certain situations against certain parts of the lineup. I don't think John Gant's a starter. I don't think he's an effective starter. I think he's a reliever, and I've talked about what I think his role could be, sixth, seventh inning against mostly righties. I think John Gant is a decent option, I think, out of the Twins bullpen. But because they have so many injuries, and now Kenta Maeda, I mean, what a blow. Kenta Maeda going to get surgery on Wednesday and could be Tommy John, which would wipe him out basically for all of next year, which would be a huge blow. The Twins just need innings from anyone they can get. And John Gant, Barraclough, Edgar Garcia, Garza Jr., and Astudillo pitched in the series finale with Boston. And that tells you all you need to know about the state of the Twins pitching staff. But on Kenta, I mean, that's I've discussed a lot. We talked about it at the All-Star break and at the trade deadline, how important Kenta is for the Twins' chances next year. Because before you traded Berríos, you look to next year and you go, okay, we have Berríos and Kenta, and Kenta was up and down, but at that point he was starting to pitch a lot better, and it was like, okay, if they keep both of them, they have a decent framework there of their top two starters that they can build around. Kenta clearly a number one last year and more of like a three or a four this year. And before, last year was a three or a four in Los Angeles in a good rotation, but at least you had that framework for a rotation. Then they trade Berríos. You go, okay, it's only Kenta. You know, only Kenta's coming back next year. It kind of reminds you of the 2019 offseason. Only Jose Berríos was coming back to the Twins in 2020. They ended up, you know, picking up the qualifying or offering the qualifying offer, and Jake Odorizzi accepted the qualifying offer, signed Michael Pineda back, Homer Bailey, Rich Hill. Then they traded for Maeda. So they made a lot of moves, and it can come together quickly. So I think it might be, I mean, it's going to be a task to fill the rotation. They're going to need to fill it sounds like, five spots now. I think Bailey Ober is going to stick. I think he's going to be in the rotation next year. So I would think they'd have to fill four spots. Maybe they feel like Jax can start in the rotation. I don't think that that'd be wise if they're trying to compete. But I think they need to fill at least four spots. And we've seen them do it before. They can do it. They did it in 2019 and still signed Josh Donaldson to a $92 million deal. So they can do it. It just makes it a lot more difficult to believe in the club next year. And I think it changes things. Like, I think it changes whether they trade Byron Buxton this offseason. I think it changes whether they trade Donaldson or trade, you know, someone, Max Kepler, Polanco, whoever. I don't think they'll trade Polanco, but Kepler. And it does change those things. Byron Buxton, by the way, is back. Great to see his name in the lineup and just, you know, amazing. I'm so glad that Byron's back. He's worth the price of admission. But this does change things. I mean, we'll see what happens here. I mean, I'll discuss if it's Tommy John that changes next year significantly for the Twins, because Kenta and his upside, it's huge. I mean, that's really important for the club next year, and it's going to be hard for me to go into this offseason with a rotation of only Bailey Ober, who you don't know how many innings you can get out of him. Like, I think he's going to be good. I just don't. He's good right now, and I think he could even get better. You just don't know how many innings you're going to get out of him, and that's you know, that's a problem. They're going to have some holes to fill here next year, especially if Kenta is out. Let's talk about Joe Ryan, eventual call-up. This kind of ties into them needing innings and you know, trying to create some excitement here at the end of the year. Let's talk about Joe Ryan, and then we'll talk about Frank Viola after the break. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Joe Ryan with the Saints, 9 innings, 2 earned runs, 17 strikeouts, 2 walks, opponents hitting 161 with a 496 OPS. And Joe Ryan came over in the Nelson Cruz deal with Drew Strootman from Tampa. Hasn't just succeeded, you know, in St. Paul. In his last 10 games going back when he was with Durham, 49 and a third, 2.55 ERA, strikeout rate 37%. Opponents hitting 159 with a 500 OPS, 200 on base percentage, 300 slugging percentage in that span. Dominant 4% walk rate. He's got great command, and I think that's why Joe Ryan can succeed in the majors today, because he throws strikes. The fastball looks like a weapon in the minor leagues. It might play differently in the bigs, but what we've seen, and Wes Johnson compared Joe Ryan to Bailey Ober, a fastball that's not, you know, it's not a huge fastball. It's 90, 91, but it gets on you. There's deception in both of their deliveries. A little bit different, I think, Ober the extension really adds some perceived velocity. But Joe Ryan talked about his, you know, his ability to add deception as well in his delivery. And I think he's a guy who is an easy call-up. I mean, this is an easy decision to me to call up Joe Ryan, maybe after one more start with the Saints, or at least in September to get him a handful of starts with the Twins. And then if you like what you see at the end of the year, you say, hey, Joe Ryan's in the rotation next year. And then you got Ryan and Ober, and you're building at that point. You can find out, as they say, find out what you have. I don't love that term, because I think sometimes in really short samples you can get misled based on how guys perform. But if Joe Ryan can come up and pitches fairly well at the big league level, I think you can confidently pencil him in for next year. I mean, he's got experience in the upper minors. He's had success everywhere. I think Joe Ryan's a guy who can factor in 2022 for sure, even on opening day. A guy who won't, and it would be great to have prime Frank Viola on this Twins club. Frank Viola was tremendous. He was great for the Twins for a long time, you know, Cy Young winner, MVP in the World Series. Frank Viola is a Twins legend, and he's passionate about the Twins and the organization. And he tweeted, I think it was Thursday night, he said, "The at Twins have forgotten what baseball is all about. Fundamentals, the belief in each other, the love of the daily grind. You don't have baseball people leading this attitude and approach, you have a losing organization. Wrong leadership equals no chance to succeed." And when I first read this, like, I know a lot of this is directed at the analytics, and you know, you can feel that underscore. And he says, you don't have baseball people. That means that you don't, you know, that there's too many Harvard execs in front offices. And maybe it has gone in that direction too much, but that's, you adapt or die. I mean, that's in Moneyball, adapt or die. You got to do it because other teams are doing it and finding success with it over and over and over again. So that part of it is a little different. I break this up. You know, it's hard immediately not to think, hey, let's not forget about what happened in 2017, in 2019, and in 2020. This front office has seen success. I'm not going to say created success, because it's difficult to evaluate them. You know, they've had some huge success stories. I think extending Jorge Polanco was a great move. It's turned out to be a great move. Signing Nelson Cruz was brilliant. Maybe the best free agent signing in Twins history. Right up there with Jack Morris, yes. Trading for Kenta Maeda looked really good in 2020. Continues to look good. I mean, now he's hurt. But Bruiser Gratterall just hasn't thrown very much for the Dodgers, and he's a reliever. So I still consider that a win because Kenta was so good last year and was probably the MVP on that division-winning team. Tyler Clippard, Sergio Romo trade, signing Matt Whistler, all wins. Those were all wins. And then signing Michael Pineda two different times, wins as well. And there are some nicks in all of those. I mean, Polanco was awful last year. Pineda got suspended and then got hurt this year. But overall, I would consider those to all be wins, and some of them massive wins. And they've had some really bad losses too. I mean, letting guys get away, Akil Baddoo, Lamont Wade Jr., Luis Gil, signing Alex Colomé, signing Matt Shoemaker, Jay Happ, Homer Bailey, Hansel Robles, Andrelton Simmons, all to varying degrees of bad decisions, and then just a plethora of relief signings that they made as well. So they've had their wins, they've had their losses. It's hard to evaluate, and that's why you have discussion, you have opinion, because it's hard to evaluate how much they're responsible. I like to believe that the infrastructure that they've implemented of really good communication, I think one of the things that this front office and this organization does really well right now is communicate through all their levels. I think they have the right people there in terms of their coaches and in the front office making decisions where everyone's kind of cohesion and it's one. And I think they do that, and they do a really good job of that. And so I give them props for doing that. I think there are signings and moves that I really liked at the time that some turned out to be great, some turned out to be awful. There are signings and moves that I didn't like that turned out to be great or turned out to be awful. The problem that I have with Viola's tweet, and I really don't have like a huge problem with it. I don't agree necessarily with it. The problem is he rips the Twins for not having belief in each other and not loving the daily grind. And that one guy that I just thought of, and I thought it was really unfair, is Luis Arraez, who I think loves the game, loves the daily grind, loves his teammates, and kind of embodies everything you want in a ball player. And it's unfortunate that Viola would just kind of lump everyone into that. I think that anytime you're not in the clubhouse, you don't know the guys, you don't know what's going on, it's really difficult to get away with saying that certain players don't love the daily grind or that they don't believe in each other when you just don't know that, and it's not something that you can just assume. When he says fundamentals, like, yeah, I agree. The Twins have not been fundamentally sound this year, but I've done this before. You just lump in other things. It's called kitchen sinking. You just throw the kitchen sink. Belief in each other and the love of the daily grind, how in the world can you quantify that? I don't think that that's quantifiable either way. You know, that might be true, but there's no way you could ever quantify that, whether the team believes in each other or that they love the daily grind. And I know for certain there are guys on this team who I'd go to war with, and there are certain guys on the team who I probably want, you know, but I think there are players that love the daily grind, probably more than not on the Twins, and that believe in each other and love each other. So I thought that was a reach. But let's talk about those signings and moves and the ones that I liked, didn't like, and how they panned out after the break. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code locked on. Promo code locked on. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. So you kind of have to look, and such a big part of this turnaround, it's been a turnaround for the Twins. Like 2011 to 2016, like, killed me as a fan. Like, it just was so hard to be a fan of the Twins at that time because they were so bad. They lose 103 games, franchise record, in 2016, bounce right back and win 26 more games in 2017, make the playoffs. 2018 was a disappointment, 78 wins, so hovering around 500. Joe Mauer retires. They come back in 2019, win 101 games, come back in 2020, win the division again, and then flopped this year. But I do think that when you have success like they did in 19, when you have success like they did in 2020, you can't overlook that. Coming into this season, the Minnesota Twins had the most wins in the American League in 2019 and 2020 combined. Most wins in the American League in the regular season. And yeah, the playoffs are a huge part of that, that they've lost in the playoffs. I don't think that it's fair to, and we've talked about this during the playoffs too, to like pin the playoff losing streak on this current. I mean, this Coors had a chance, and every time they lose in the playoffs now, there's more of that burden. But you can't blame the 2009 Twins on the 2020 Twins. You know, you just can't. You can't do that. It's not fair. And you can't blame the losses of the front office in 2002 or 2004 or 2009 or 2010 on this front office. You know, that's not fair either. There were signings and moves that I supported. I supported and really liked the Andrelton Simmons signing. And I think it's really hard not to lose faith in the front office and decisions they've made after this year. And I'm going to be more skeptical and I think more critical when I need to be about moves that they make this offseason. I like the Andrelton Simmons signing. I kind of talked myself into the defense, but I thought it was a good signing at the time. I wanted Marcus Semien for the Twins, but I was okay with Simmons. Loved the Josh Donaldson signing just because I love the player and because I thought at that time it made a ton of sense. I thought it made a ton of sense to bring him in, recognizing a window. That's what I think they do well. I mean, I think they recognize the window, but on the flip side, I think they could have been more aggressive in 2019 at the trade deadline. I think that was their biggest mistake of the last 3 years. I don't think it was the Donaldson contract. I don't even think it was the moves that they made this offseason. I don't even think it was not protecting Akil Baddoo. I think the biggest mistake that they made, for better or worse, I don't know if they had opportunities or not, but not being more aggressive in 2019 at the deadline, because you never know when you're going to get another opportunity. Like, you look at what the White Sox did at the deadline this year, going and getting Craig Kimbrell. You never know when you're going to get that chance to win in the playoffs again. And look at the Twins. I mean, they had a chance last year too, but 2019, they had a really good chance to get aggressive with some prospects. They had guys break out. And I think in the long run, we're going to be glad they didn't trade Trevor Larnach or Jordan Balazovic or Yoan Duran, or we might not be. You know, a lot of times those guys just really don't pan out. And I'm going to look back and continue to think that they should have been more aggressive in 2019 at the deadline. They got Sergio Romo and Sam Dyson, and they didn't push more chips into the middle, and I wanted to see them do that. They've wanted to win in free agency. They've made really competitive offers. I know people hate to hear, like, oh, they came in second, but Marcus Semien, Yu Darvish, Zach Wheeler, they were in on all of them. They ended up signing Josh Donaldson, winning the Donaldson sweepstakes. They built depth, I thought, really well the last couple of years, or at least I thought they had depth this year. You know, Marwin Gonzalez was good in 2019, or decent at least. Irei Adrianza, having him, that was nice in 2019. He really added some depth. So they've built depth, and they've taken this year, I think they've taken advantage of a terrible situation by flipping Brios for a couple of really exciting prospects, flipping Nelson Cruz for a guy in Joe Ryan that we might see right now pitch for the Twins. So I think they've done a good job of that. Now, they've made some really bad decisions. I mean, some of these decisions they've made have blown up in their faces. And picking those spots for aggression, I think, has been a flaw. Like, picking when to be aggressive is something that I want to see them do better. Talent evaluation within the organization has been a huge weakness, and you just can't have that be a weakness. You know, evaluating their own talent. And I think you can even see that when they don't make trades. Like, think higher on prospects than other teams are that they have wrongly, and then not dealing those players, or you know, making certain decisions because you believe in someone more than another guy or don't believe in a guy. Those things can, and they have come back to bite the Twins in Akil Baddoo, Lamont Wade Jr., Luis Yiel. Those are nuanced decisions. I thought the Lamont Wade trade was good at the time for Sean Anderson. I didn't think Lamont Wade was going to become a 500 slugging percentage beast in San Francisco. I just didn't foresee that happening for him. But it did. And, you know, maybe the Twins didn't see that in him and the Giants did, obviously. The Alexander Colomé signing, I called on record the best value of the offseason for the Twins. Looking back, that was really a preposterous statement. I mean, that was one of the worst takes I've had, I think, on this podcast. But Alexander Colomé turned out to be disastrous and better recently, but not really super recently. I had a decent stretch there. Matt Shoemaker, I thought was savvy. I think I probably called it savvy at the time for $2 million just because of the numbers. So I'm not one to say like, oh, I said they were wrong. I knew this was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. Like, I liked a lot of these signings that didn't happen. I liked these trades that didn't end up working out. There are moves I didn't like, and I looked decently smart. Jay Happ, I just didn't understand. I tried to talk myself into him too, but I never really liked Jay Happ. Homer Bailey, didn't like. I don't think anyone did. Maeda for Gratterall at the time, I didn't love because I loved Bruzar Gratterall. I think his arm is electric, and I think he's going to continue to be electric. CJ Krohn, just like low on base, high slug, wasn't crazy about it, but he ended up being good for them for the first half. And then, not going for it at the 2019 deadline, I think, was their biggest mistake. Overall, when you think about Viola's comments about this front office, about leadership, because I think it was directed, he said leadership, I do think that we owe them one more chance. I think we do. And maybe you don't feel that way, and you think that the organization will be set back by keeping these guys, but I think they have at least built a little bit of faith for me, because I did come in with a ton of faith this year, and that can't just be wiped away completely by what's happened. I'm going to give them an offseason and another season, and after that, evaluate at that point if having this front office is the best thing for the Twins. But I'm going to give them a chance. That's just my personal opinion. You can decide what you want to do. But I think they have a really unique opportunity here with these prospects that they've gotten, with moves they can make, with holes that they have on the roster, to really build back some of that faith this offseason and going into 2022. But it'll be super interesting. This offseason is going to be fascinating as the season winds down here. We got one more month to go. I'll still be here 5 days a week, and I'm looking forward to the offseason. I think the Twins are going to be super active because they have to be. You know, they have a ton of holes. You look at like the White Sox, they don't have any holes really going into this offseason, so I don't think they're going to be as active. The Twins might be the most active in the Central. You could see Detroit get busy. Kansas City had a good offseason last year, at least spending. I didn't think they've allocated their funds in the best way. I mean, certainly the Twins didn't. And then Cleveland never spends. So we'll see what happens. Can't wait. I'm excited for it. At the same time, nervous, anxious, because I think the direction of the organization is going to be decided in the next couple months. But again, I'll be here Monday breaking down this series with Milwaukee. Hopefully the Twins can get a series victory. Rain coming tonight. Hopefully stays away. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins. Let me know if you have any thoughts on Viola or anything that I said. And let me know. Yeah, leave a comment too, or leave a review in Apple Podcasts. Tell me how you think the show goes. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day, and go Twins.